tonight. What I'd like to do, I know it is the month of November. Thanksgiving is just around the corner. That's right for some of you. Not pointing fingers at anybody, Ashley, but Thanksgiving is before Christmas. Amen. Amen. Just saying, not pointing fingers. But Thanksgiving is still before Christmas. All right. You know. Hey, listen, let me just do a shameless plug here. Thanksgiving. You eat until you're sick, and you don't have to barter. Amen. That's what Christmas is, right? You buy a $10 gift for you, I buy a $10 gift for you. That's not a gift, that's bartering. Amen. Just, I'll leave that one right there. Thanksgiving month. Tonight, a place that you're thankful for. Anybody want to say a place you're thankful for? Amen. Gavin? Amen. Sean? That's what I'm talking about. Dalton? Amen. Anybody else? A place you're thankful for. Amen. 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 Anybody else? A place you're thankful for. Amen. Anybody else? Mimi's. That's what I'm talking about. Me too. Do what? Chick-fil-A? Praise the Lord. That's what I'm saying. Pre-blessed food, amen, goes right there. And a place you're thankful for. Anybody else? Amen. Israel. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? A place you're thankful for. Nobody said the refrigerator. Nobody. All right, Luke chapter number 11 tonight. I want to start in this text. We will not get through all the verses I'd like to tonight. I just kind of want to look at it from a 30,000 foot view and try to help us on a Wednesday night about our prayer life. Now, here's something I want to challenge you about. As I read through the Gospels, and I'm not ashamed enough to say this, I heard a man preach this thought, not out of this text, but the thought I'm telling you right now, just a few weeks ago. And here's what he preached before every miracle of Jesus Christ's life here on earth. He prayed before he did that. And let's tonight, if the sinless Son of God needs to pray, don't you think we do? Hey, when you're working without praying, when you're working in your own ability, what you're saying is, I don't need the Savior, my flesh can get the job done. And I think tonight it'd be a great thing if everyone here would realize we don't have enough to get it done, but our God sure does have enough to get it done. Amen. I find Jesus all over. Before he feeds the 5,000, he blessed and break before he gave it to him. When he comes walking to him on the water, she just sang about, he was apart praying up in the mountains and then comes down and walks on the water, calms the storm, brings Peter and lets him walk on the water. I mean, over and over and over you find Jesus in prayer. And in fact, his prayer life is so substantial. Look here, Luke chapter 11, verse number 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. He said to them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut. And my children are with me in bed. I cannot arise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not arise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Listen to verse 13. If you, being evil, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, right? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Notice, that's a question. God, I pray tonight would you take this text. God, help us to follow it in the daily walk that we have with you. God, I pray we would never work in our own ability, but God, we would completely depend upon you in everything that we do. God, I sure do love you and I sure do thank you. God, it's your name that we pray. Amen. In this text, they ask this question. Look at verse number 1. And it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. I see the impact of his prayer life visually. They saw something different in him. Have you ever been around that person and it seems like everything they pray for comes to fruition? I remember I was messing with Brother Don, and if you're listening online, don't judge me. And if you're in here, don't judge me. If you do, I won't be offended. But Brother Don prayed that we would have a third child, and he prayed that it would be a little girl. And so whenever he was there at the end of his life and very sick, well, we would bring Gracie over and see him. And he'd be like, that's a little girl that I prayed for. And he started messing with me. He said, now I'm going to start praying for twins. And I said, yeah, I'm going to pray you die. There ain't no way. Your prayers is getting through. I don't want you praying that. You ever met that person that feels like when they start praying about it, it happens? Jesus Christ would go pray, and then he'd come out and do something magnificent. And it was like when they heard him, there was something going on. It's like he knew the person he was talking to. Sound familiar? And in our walk with God, wouldn't it be a great thing tonight if some of the children in this church would hear us pray and say, they got something that I don't have. It's almost like when they are speaking to God, it's like they know him. And the disciples, as they would see him pray, not only were they seeing his prayers get answered, but also it was like the way he spoke. Remember when he first came out and started preaching, they were like, no man has ever spoken like this before. They were confounded. No one spoke with boldness like this. And when Jesus was praying, he was praying like somebody who expected for God to answer his prayer. Do you pray like you expect God to answer your prayer? Do you believe your Bible? Do you believe your Bible? Amen. You believe your Bible? And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Is that what the Bible says? Now, we understand if we go over to James chapter number 4, I believe it is, where it talks about where we ask amiss, we may consume it upon our own lust. That may be James 1, but over in the book of James, it talks about where we ask amiss because we're asking for our own desires. If you go home tonight and say, the preacher preached it, Lord, please let me win the lottery. I did not tell you that was going to get answered. If you don't study for the chemistry exam and you pray to pass the test, you will fail. I've seen it. What they saw was a man that, number one, he had a prayer life. You wouldn't ask someone to teach you to pray you'd never seen pray. But they saw Jesus pray, and then they saw his prayers being answered. And then as they heard him pray, they're in this place, he's in a certain place. It says, when he ceased, they're listening to him. And he's talking like he expects to get an answer back from this conversation. Hey, Dad, when's the last time your kid saw you pray like you expected to get something back from the other end of that conversation? Hey, Mom. Hey, church family. When you pray, do the kids in this room say, they're talking to somebody like they know them? I'll never forget when Brother Garner was coming to the church and we met in the study and he wanted to talk about moving his membership over here. And we spent a long time together. We talked, he told me everything. We spent like 3 hours together that night just talking and fellowshipping. And we sat in there and I said, all right, you know, we're going to leave. And I said, let's pray. I said, I'll pray first and you pray second. I remember when he started talking, I'm going to tell you something. Charles Garner knows Jesus. It's like he knew that man. He had spoken to him before. There was something different. It inspired me. The prayer of Jesus was a prayer that made the disciples want to pray like that. It had an impact on them, and they said, please teach us to pray. Now, here's the thing. He gives an instruction of a model prayer, and that's what I want to deal with tonight. But here's what I want us to understand. If I go to the parallel text in the Gospels for verses number 2, 3, and 4, they're not word for word in the parallels. You know what that tells me? God does not literally mean you need to recite what's right here. If God wants us to recite this all the time, when you pray, every time you pray, you have to recite this right here, he'd have put it the exact same way in the parallel text in the Gospels. But he didn't do that. So I believe in this text, what he's shown us are some things in our life, maybe ways that we should pray. So look with me, if you would, verse number 2. And he said to them, when ye pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. I think when we pray, number one, we should pray devotionally. That means consecrated, being in God's family. Listen to this. Our Father. He's mine. I'm speaking to my Father. It would be a crazy thing to say, I don't know if I believe in Jesus, yet pray. Remember, in America, in some ways, religion has become a culture. And it's like all these people who have no relationship with God whatsoever. When something bad happens, now they're talking about praying. It's a weird thing to pray to somebody who you don't know. It'd be a weird thing to speak to somebody you don't know. Walking up to someone and talking like you have some type of relationship. Try it. Walk up to some random person tomorrow on the street, just find them and start asking them for stuff. It's going to be weird. Why do we feel our relationship with Jesus would be any different? But he said, I am consecrated. He is my Father. And listen, this place right here, earth, it's not my home. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That is my home. Our Father, which art in heaven. I'm an heir to where my Father is. That's where I'm from. If somebody said, where are you from? I'll say, I'm from Henderson, North Carolina. Why? Because that's where my father and my mother are from and where they raised me. It's my home. And when we pray, we're talking to our Father. It's going to help you when you get in your prayer closet to speak to Jesus like you know him. Are you saved tonight? That means you had to meet him at some point in time. You didn't get saved on your own. Hey, listen to me. A preacher didn't save you. Listen, a prayer didn't save you. If you're saved tonight, Jesus Christ saved you. Now, confession is made with the mouth, but man believeth in the heart, and we are saved by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, for the wages of sin is death. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus is the one who paid the debt for our sin. And when I got saved, Jesus is the one who saved me. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by who? Me. It's through Jesus. And so when you're praying, you should pray like you know him. It don't have to be some structured, oh thou this, that, this. No, I'm talking to my Father. Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's our advocate with the Father. And we can pray devotionally, know that we are speaking to our own family, to our own Father. You know what's different whenever you go to someone's house you just met and like you're not really that comfortable and everything's kind of awkward? But when I go to my parents' house, I don't knock. If I came to your house, I'd knock. But when I go to my parents' house, it's home. I just punch in the code usually do it wrong the first time. My code never works on their door. But then I go in the house because I'm home. There's a comfort in it. Hey, do you know Jesus well enough when you talk to him, it's just kind of a comfortable thing? And he said, when you pray, say, "Our Father, which art in heaven," that's my country, that's where I'm from, that's my Father. Devotionally, it's to be consecrated. But not just that, pray evangelically. Here's what I mean by that. Look what it says. When you pray, say, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Go to Philippians chapter 2. I'm about to read some text that most people in this room have probably heard preached before. You've probably heard it quoted before, but I want you to put your eyes on it as we read it. Philippians chapter number 2. There's only one name under heaven given among men where we might be saved. Right? And Philippians chapter 2 is speaking about the consolation of Christ and about the mind of Christ, where he brought himself down and he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and made himself of no reputation, knowing that it was not robbery, that he truly was equal with God. But he brought himself down in the form of a servant, in the form of a man, and he brought himself down. And by bringing himself down, God said, "I am going to lift him up." Verse 9, Philippians 2, verse 9. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a" what? "Name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue," listen, let's not miss this, "every knee," the Muslims, the Pope, the Orthodox Jewish community, the atheist, our current president, our last president before him, you, every knee, every tongue, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I can't help but think whenever the angel comes to Mary and comes to Joseph and says, "His name shall be Jesus." God has exalted that name. And what he says, when we pray, "Hallowed be thy name," we need to show reverence to the name of Jesus. That is the name that every person who ever makes it to heaven gets through. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That means no man. That means not the men. The Old Testament guys didn't get there without Jesus. They had to go with Jesus. Abraham got there the same way I'm going to get there, through Jesus. Absolutely. Moses got there through Jesus, just like I'm going to have to go through Jesus, just like you're going to have to go through Jesus. And it'd be a great thing when we pray, we say, "God, we want reverence to your name. I'm not ashamed of the name of Jesus." Amen. And when we pray, we should say, "God, you're my Father. I'm praying to you in a way that I know you. I know where you're at. I'm praying to you in my home country. My mind is set on heavenly things first. That's my desire. And God, I want your name to be exalted. I want your name to be reverenced." Why? Because that is the only name given among men whereby we must be saved. That's why. Need to show reverence to his name. Pray evangelically. Also in this text, look back with me in verse number 2. "Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth." Pray prophetically. Now, let's camp here for a minute, because I think this is something that is not dealt with often in the right manner. I just believe that. Thy kingdom come. What's that talking about? The Bible tells us he's going to set up his kingdom in Jerusalem. And he is going to reign on that throne. Amen? The second coming. We have the rapture. We believe the church is taken out. 7 years tribulation. Jesus comes back with a sword out of his mouth. We're riding behind him. And he's going to set up his kingdom. And he's going to have that 1,000-year reign. Amen? That kingdom. He's going to set that up. Jesus Christ is going to do that. He said he was going to do it. And I believe he's going to do it. And it's his will that that happens. And I'm looking for the rapture. He's coming to them that are looking for him. But at the same time, today, I prayed and said, God, would you give us more time? I believe God can come back today. Yes, amen. But I asked him today, Mr. Wilson, I said, God, would you please give us more time? See, I have lost loved ones. They're not saved. And when the time comes, it's too late. I'm not afraid of the rapture because I'm going when it happens. I'm looking for him to come back. And if I'm actually expecting him to come back and I'm looking for him to come back, I'm going to be busy telling other people, you need to get right because God's coming back. A lot of people in the pews are praying for the rapture because they want to get out of the responsibility we have to tell other people Jesus is coming. And I'm all about praying for God's will to be done. We're praying prophetically saying, God, the things you desired to happen, God, we pray that they happen. And while I'm on that, let's just go ahead and put a plug here. I don't always stand with everything that Israel does politically, but I stand with them as God's people. Okay, I don't agree with every decision that they make, and I'm pro-Israel because I'm pro-God's people, okay? And God has prophecy that's set up, and his will, it's in heaven, his will be done here on earth. And we are to pray, God, your will be done. Again, there's nothing wrong with being excited about the rapture. There's nothing wrong with looking for the rapture. But there's also nothing wrong with saying, God, would you please give us more time to reach more people before you come back? I don't think one people would try to put one of those against the other and make them contrary one to the other. And I don't believe that to be the case. I believe if I'm looking for him to come back, if I'm truly looking and expecting him to come back, I have to realize that I am out soul winning, telling people, hey, he's coming back. God, give us more time to reach more people because he's coming back. Why? Because every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. We go to Revelation where it says that every tongue and every kindred and every nation, that means every nation, every people, listen to this, every nation, every people who've ever been on planet Earth will hear the gospel. You say that sounds impossible. It is. It absolutely is. But God said it was going to happen, so I believe it. Amen. But when we pray, we should pray prophetically. There's nothing wrong with desiring for God's kingdom to come. There's nothing wrong with saying, thy will be done. We want his will to be done. But at the same time, as someone standing here before you tonight, I'm telling you, I'm looking for the rapture to happen. I'm excited to be in heaven with Jesus. But I want to live to be old. I want to preach for a long time. And I don't want God to come back for a while because there's more people that need to be saved. Amen. Not just prophetically, but look at this. There's nothing wrong with praying physically. Look at verse 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. Now, this can be applied in two ways. Number one, what about the bread of life? What's an overseer or a shepherd, a pastor, an elder, a bishop? What's their three jobs in the church? Number one, feed the flock with the word of God, right? It's to oversee and to be an example. This right here is the bread of life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, right? And so there's nothing wrong with saying, God, daily would you give us the bread of life. God, daily would you open my eyes and let me see what's going on in your word. God, daily would you let me take your bread, the bread of life, and apply it to my life that I might be closer to you. Amen. But also there's nothing wrong with saying, God, would you feed us physically? Because we need spiritual things in our life. Amen. But although I got some reserves stored up, if I don't eat for too long a period of time, there is a limit in my life. If I stop eating, I'll eventually die. I got a ways to go. But it's still, I've got to eat. And there is nothing wrong. In fact, I think it's right to ask God to help you meet your daily provisions. And say, God, would you please supply this need for us? God, I want your will. Remember, I want your will to be done. God, would you supply this need for my family? Because here's what I tell you. We don't pray to inform God. We pray to involve God. God knows your needs before you pray. All you're doing is humbling yourself, saying, God, I need your help. And it is right to ask God and to pray to God for physical things, physically. And then lastly, here in verse 4. I think it's a good thing to pray spiritually. Now, we need our physical needs met, and we need help from God for our physical needs, and we walk daily in life. And I know it's hard for most of us in this room to even comprehend what it's like to honestly be praying, God, would you give us something for our next meal, because we're not going to make it. Right? Now, there's a lot of people of the 8 billion on the planet. There's a huge number of those. I don't know the statistics, but there's a large number of them that literally live meal to meal. I remember one preacher told me what broke him is he finally made it, Brother Tony. He finally got on a missions trip. And I think he was down either in Dominican Republic or down in Haiti. And he brought a guy some food, and he told me, he said, eat until you're full. He had no idea what that meant. Guy didn't understand what it meant to be full. He'd never been told, eat till you're full. His whole life, a grown man, his whole life, he had eaten just whatever he could find to survive. He literally lived meal to meal. There's missionaries I've talked to that were they're national pastors, and they're from places they don't know their birthday. They don't know how old they are. There's one particular missionary I know of that we know. He's been to our church growing up. He didn't take baths. That's not what you use water for. Water was to drink. Because we barely had stuff to meet our needs. Guys, we are so spoiled. We don't even know what it's like to barely meet our physical needs. Okay, so I understand when I preach that right there, honestly, what happens to most of us is that just goes right here. Because we eat our meal, then eat a Debbie cake. We don't just eat a certain meals a day. We eat snacks. We don't just eat, me and Dad talk about this all the time, we don't just eat because we're hungry. We eat because it's time to eat. Right? Hard for us to understand that. But here's something we have an easy time understanding. Look at verse 4. And forgive us our sins. If we confess our sin. Remember? If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, the only person who can help you with your sins is Jesus Christ. We could set up a booth over here and you come talk to me about it, but you know what I'm going to have to do if you come talk to me about it? I'm going to have to go talk to Him about it. Amen. I can't help you, but Jesus can. I didn't die for your sin, but Jesus did. Amen. I can't tell you how to get to heaven without Him, because He's the only way to get there. Amen. Yes, pray spiritually. He says, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Hold up. Did you hear that? It's like, can you imagine these guys are hearing Him and He's going, boy, I like this prayer. This is great. This is really, really good. And they're like, I like that part. Amen. I like that part. Amen. Then Jesus, while He's talking to them, He said, and forgive everyone, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Can you see the disciples now? Did He really just say what I think He just said? Did He say everyone or did He say most of them? I don't know about forgiving that joker. I don't know about being able to do that. That person wronged me. That person did me wrong. I don't know if I can do that. Boy, you know how many times you did Jesus wrong? He still forgave you. Didn't He? Amen. Time and time and time again, here you come doing Him wrong. He forgives you again. Amen. And he throws that in there. He said, look, we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. It's going to take the Spirit of God for you to be able to pull that off. Amen. You can't do that in your flesh. In your flesh, you can't forgive everyone you need to forgive. Because here's the reality. Let's just get this clear. I've talked to a lot of people. I mean a lot of people. I'll say, where you go to church? And they say, well, I used to go to church, but I got my feelings hurt, or someone hurt my feelings or something. You're going to get your feelings hurt. Hey, listen to me. Grayson, at some point in time in your life, somebody in church is going to hurt your feelings. It's going to happen. But you don't come here for that person to hurt your feelings. You come here for Jesus. Yes. Amen. It's that simple. We don't witness because we love everybody. We witness because we love Him. Amen. We don't come to church because we feel like it. We come to church because we love Him. Right? It's going to take a walk with God to forgive those who are indebted to us. That means they owe us something. Is that what it says? Those that are indebted to us, they owe us something. And he said, just like I forgave your debt, let us forgive everyone who's indebted to us. That takes a walk in the Spirit, not the flesh. You know what God says? When ye pray, say, God, help me forgive them. God, help me to care more about their needs than I care about mine. God, help me to give rather than to take. Give the forgiveness rather than taking the payment for the debt. You see where we're going? It's going to take a spiritual walk with God in order to be able to do that. And what you need to do, when you pray, say, hey, God, forgive us our sin just like we forgive everyone who's indebted to us. Then look what else it says. And lead us not into temptation. This was not worded wrong. Who does it say is leading us to that spot? Now, he doesn't tempt us. But let's take an example. Matthew 4. Who drove Jesus out into the wilderness? The Spirit. The Spirit drove him out to the wilderness to be tempted. You know, the devil can't do anything to you that God doesn't allow. Our God has more power than the devil. Amen. And we're saying, when you pray, God, lead us not to that temptation. Why? Because our spirit needs to be stronger than our flesh, and we don't need to be in a position to say, Lord, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. God, help us that we would not be in a spot of temptation. God, help me that I would not be in a spot to find my weakness. Listen, you know you better than anybody else on earth knows you. Now, God knows you better than you know you. But you know you better. Because here's a reality. The thoughts that cross your mind, unless you're not real bright, you don't share all of them. If you share every thought that crosses your mind with somebody, the Bible says a fool uttereth all his thoughts. It's not very smart. But you know what's going on in your mind. You know the temptations that you struggle with. I think it'd be a good thing to say, hey, God, lead me not to those temptations. Why? But deliver us from evil. God, would you please help me to stay away from the things that would make me to walk in the flesh and help me to drive closer to the things that would help me walk in the Spirit. How, look at this. This is a parallel. Do you know how you find yourself walking in the Spirit? Forgiveness. Giving. Look what it says. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. My giving spirit is me walking in the Spirit. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If I'm over here in temptation, I'm going to find myself in evil. When you pray, say, God, help me not to get over there. God, please don't lead me that way. God, lead me to a spot of giving. Lead me to a spot of spirit-filledness. God, lead me to walk like you would want me to walk. To pray spiritually. Pray spiritually for our walk. Now, I do believe that we should pray physically. I do. 100%. God, how can I handle this? God, can you help me with this? God, can we get here? Lord, give us this day our daily bread. God, day to day, give us the bread we need to have in our lives. Give us the provisions that we need in our lives. But I'm talking to a room full of spoiled people. Because we don't just have our needs, we have our wants. And then we're wanting the wants on top of the wants. I say the joke about my kids, they don't have what they want, they have two of them. But spiritually, guys, we live in a place where temptation is on every hand. In fact, I don't have mine on me, but temptation's in most of our pockets. Right. Preachers used to preach against TV and everybody thought they were crazy. Man, I'm preaching against cell phones and internet and social media, and everybody's going to think I'm crazy, but 20 years from now, you'll see I'm right. It's a detriment. Those men that preached against it 20 years ago, guess what? They weren't wrong. Of course they were. What's Disney standing for now? Right? They're not even hiding it anymore. They're open about it. Then preachers weren't wrong. Listen to me. I'm not wrong. Temptation's in your pocket. And if you don't get some control over it, if you don't say, God, deliver me from that temptation, don't lead me toward that. God, help me to walk closer to you. God, I want to, please forgive me of my sin. Don't let me be over in that temptation. God, I need your help to walk in the Spirit. God, I need your help not to do that. I want my integrity to be intact. It's going to take some prayer. How do you think Daniel, being in captivity, he don't have his parents, he don't have his pastor, he don't have a Bible, he don't have Wednesday night prayer meeting, he don't have the youth group, and he's in Babylon. How do you think he stuck with the stuff? Prayer. You know what they did to get rid of him? The only thing they could accuse him for, they made a law, a decree, that he couldn't pray to God. That's how they got him. Is that how somebody would get you? If somebody wanted to follow you around, they said, tell you what, I want to catch Rocky so we can accuse him. Would they have to make up a prayer law to get you? Or would it be pretty easy to find you in some other sin? You're talking about a convicting moment. You know how Joseph made it without being bitter? Because the Lord was with Joseph. He said, our father, Joseph talked to God like he knew him. Evangelically, he cared more about the people and the souls of them around him. You know, he took care of his brothers when he could have killed them. He had the power to do that. We could go all through the Bible of people that had a prayer life that walked with God. But listen to me. God laid it out for us. The instruction of a model prayer. We need to pray devotionally, pray evangelically, pray prophetically. Let God's will be done. Pray physically. God, meet our needs, our provisions. But listen to me tonight. Don't let this slip. We need to pray spiritually. God, help my walk. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to forgive others. God, lead me not to temptation, but God, please deliver me from evil, because the Lord knows there are so many avenues to allow evil in your life in today's day and time. God, I pray tonight, would you touch our hearts, touch our minds. God, help us to have a better prayer life. God, for you, God, I pray you get the glory from it. I sure am thankful for my church family. God, I pray tonight, touch us.